State Capitol Report, an hour we set aside every Monday to get up to date on the most important news coming from our state capitol. And our state government reporter has lots of news to recall from last week. We'll get a preview also of what's on tap this week as well in just a few minutes. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, October the 17th. First, a quick reminder that this is the last day of our Half the Time Pledge Drive, and Cynthia Schuster joins me to tell us what is expected of us this hour. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, Joy. Well, we do have a goal this hour of 70 pledges. When you call 888-202-2552, you can also log on to WPR.org and make your pledge online.
These hourly goals are extremely important. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussions going strong on the Ideas Network. And Cynthia, I'm sorry to say we missed our goal last hour. So it's important that we make this hour's goal and next hour's goal and every one after that as well, if we are to try to make the overall goal of the pledge drive. We did, though, hear from 15 of you in our last hour. Thank you so very much. It really is important and appreciated. And I'm happy and sorry to say at the same time that 11 of those pledges were new members, meaning for my new member challenge and my offer to chip in $10 for every new member last hour, I am going to be writing a check for $110 at the end of my shift. So I'm happy to also support Wisconsin Public Radio and happy to welcome those 11 new members to the fold. You can become a member, you can renew your membership, you can give us an additional gift. Anything you want at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we should mention that because this pledge drive is half the time of a normal drive, the goals are bigger than usual. But that also means that there's no time for delay, especially today. It is our last day of the 6-day pledge drive. So please give your support right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
The easiest way to make sure that your support for Wisconsin Public Radio is always current is to become a sustaining member. Being a sustainer means that your gift, be it $5 a month or $100 a month or anything in between, automatically renews each year.
And being a sustainer also means that no more renewal notices will come to you in the mail. It helps Wisconsin Public Radio save money, which makes your contribution go even farther. So make the switch and make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In just a moment, we will be welcoming in Wisconsin Public Radio's state government reporter, Sean Johnson, and we will talk about the top political news of the last week, the issues being debated at the state capitol. This is our weekly state capitol report. We get up to date on all the issues that are being debated and brewing, and we get a preview of what's ahead. Discussions like this are possible because of your financial support. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You give to WPR to support the programs. The programs are here for you every day. What's also here for you every day? Or at least every Monday, Sean Johnson of the State Capitol Report, giving us the latest news out of the State Capitol. Show your support for Wisconsin Public Radio by donating now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, Cynthia, I can't tell you how many people, especially in this very controversial political year here in the state of Wisconsin, have thanked me when I've been out and about and thanked Wisconsin Public Radio for being a place where they could stay abreast of what was going on at the state capitol. Some very important news with the collective bargaining debate and with the state budget and with the various changes to state public policy that affect all of us. And people really did tune to Wisconsin Public Radio to get the very latest news and the conversations about those news stories. If you are one of those people, please do make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Once again, our goal this hour, 70 pledges in the next 50 minutes or so. So help out now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552.
Thank you very much, Cynthia. We will check in with you a little bit later. Time now to welcome in Wisconsin Public Radio's Sean Johnson, who is our state government reporter. He joins us almost every Monday at this time with the latest state capital news. We will recap what happened in the previous week, and we'll get a preview of what to expect in the coming week. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Joy.
It was a busy week last week, as it has been of late. Big news when the Democratic Party and like-minded organizations announced that they will indeed kick off a recall effort against Governor Scott Walker.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like we've known this for a while now, but when you look back, it was last Monday, there was no word of when they might do this, and all of a sudden, that Monday, word started trickling out, and that night on MSNBC, Democratic Party Chair Mike Tate announced that they would seek a recall, said he thought that they would be able to get the signatures. They'd start circulating November 15th, and that would force an election, he thought, sometime in the spring.
No one can predict with certainty, but we're thinking likely around in May or sometime in the early spring that there will be an effort. It likely won't be on the state's Republican presidential primary, which is April 3rd. It'll likely be sometime after that. But, we are in uncharted territory.
Uncharted territory is right. So a lot of the reason for the uncertainty is you may have a primary among Democrats. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they are able to get the signatures that they need, and you need more than 540,000 valid signatures.
And that's a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot of signatures. You have 60 days to do that. You can imagine the Government Accountability Board would probably ask for a judge for more time to review those signatures if they came in. And then you could imagine that beyond that, there would probably be legal challenges if it was within the margins.
Yeah. Is there any a debate over the timing of this recall effort, in that the holidays are coming up and some people were saying do it sooner rather than later. Other people were saying do it later rather than sooner.
Yeah. I mean, I think the timing that they chose surprised a lot of people, because it was actually Tate who, you know, had brought up the idea of holding off on the recall and pursuing it so that you could have the election, try to have the election on the regular November presidential election when you have high turnout. You have a lot of people, a lot of Democratic voters who go to the polls in those high turnout presidential elections who may not go to the polls in a special election that's being held in April, May, who knows. That was one factor that made you think they might try to hold off until then. Clearly you're going to have a certain segment of the Democratic grassroots that was going to want to push ahead right away. So you had the possibility that if the, you know, establishment Democratic Party kind of waited to help out, you can have a false start there, try to get the signatures and then try again later in the year. Who knows if you get them? There's just a lot of variables that maybe were not within the control of, the Democratic Party, unions and their allies.
How is Governor Walker reacting to this news?
He was asked about it in La Crosse, didn't have, too much of a reaction, said that, he was going to focus on jobs.
We're ready to stay focused on jobs, and we think in the end, we made a firm pledge early on to help the private sector create 250,000 jobs. As long as we're continuing to push that every day, every week, and every month we're in office, I think we're going to be in good shape.
And you can imagine you'll probably hear that refrain often over the next few months.
Is there any determination yet, Sean, if this recall effort, which the initiators will be trying to collect the signatures to recall Governor Walker, will include Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish?
The Government Accountability Board has asked the Attorney General for an opinion on that. The board's director said he didn't think that it would include the running mate. There are a number of Democrats, though, who think that it should. And so I don't believe that's set in stone yet.
Mm-hmm. Are there any for sure Democratic challengers should a recall election be forced?
Yeah, no for sure challengers at this point, but having it in the middle of the year, you give Democrats, what's known as a free shot. I mean, you have people who hold office right now who can run for this office now and not risk losing their seat. So, you know, whereas if it was going to be in November and you had to choose between running for governor and who knows what happens in the race and giving up your assembly seat or your mayor's seat or your congressional seat, that you know, makes some people kind of wary of running. But because it's potentially going to have an election in April or May, you've heard quite a few names thrown out there. You've heard Assembly Minority Leader Peter Barca's name thrown out there, Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett, whose name has been thrown out pretty regularly throughout all this, Congressman Ron Kind from Western Wisconsin, somebody whose name is sort of perennially mentioned as a possibility for statewide office, but has basically stayed away from those possibilities and kind of stuck to his basically safe congressional seat. He's somebody's name has been thrown out now because you have this middle of the year election. State Senator John Erpenbach, sort of the spokesman for the Wisconsin 14, or one of them, when they were not in Wisconsin. And then former Congressman Dave Obie has said that he's interested if Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett doesn't run. And Obie actually floated the name of Senator Herb Cole as a possibility. He said he'd like to see him run, although I haven't heard Senator Cole express any interest in that.
Yeah, and Obie said, I would rather those two would run, but if they don't, I'd consider it.
Yeah,
interesting. We are talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, about state government news, including this announced recall effort against Governor Scott Walker from last week. We'll also talk about other issues making news, but we'll welcome your questions, your reactions. What do you think about this, the timing of this recall effort? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking the weather forecast for today, becoming mostly cloudy in northern Wisconsin with a slight chance of showers. It will be mostly sunny in the south. Highs will range from the mid-40s in the north to the upper 50s in southern Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, along with Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson. We're talking about the state political news coming from our state capitol and from Capitol Watchers as well. And by the way, Wisconsin Democratic Party Chair Mike Tate will be with us tomorrow morning between 7:30 and 8. We will talk about this planned recall attempt of Governor Scott Walker with Democratic Party Chair Mike Tate tomorrow between 7:30 and 8. We do have an invitation to the Republican Party leadership to join us from 7 until 7:30, but have not yet received a response or a confirmation on that. Sean, other news that may or may not be play into this recall effort. Some headlines being made. The Associated Press reported, was it on Friday, that Governor Walker broke a campaign promise?
Yeah, the AP said that. They looked into a promise that the governor made last year in the campaign trail. Said that because he wanted all state workers to contribute the employee share of their pension, 5% of their pension roughly. He felt strongly enough about it that he was going to on day one contribute that 5% as well. The AP asked for his pay stubs. Turns out that on day one, he did not make that contribution. This is not something that that was just mentioned in a press release. It was mentioned by the governor quite a few times, including in debates. This is a debate with Mike Gushay in October, where he brought it up a couple times when he was debating Mayor Tom Barrett.
We're ready to stay focused on jobs, and we think in the end we made a firm pledge early on.
We'll try that one again. Was not it, because I have it. I have it right here.
We're asking employees to make the pension contribution. I'd make that starting on day one. I would do that even before the budget. In fact, I do that in the same way that 8 years ago when I came in the office, there was literally the county executive before me was making more money than the governor of the state of Wisconsin. I said that was wrong, and Tonette and I since then have given $370,000 of our salary back.
So the governor started making the increased contributions to pensions along with the rest of state employees?
Yeah, I mean, Yes. He started making it in August when the rest of the state employees do. And because the way elected officials will be making their payments, he'll actually be paying toward his pension at a slightly higher rate percentage wise than state employees. But as far as why he didn't start making it on day one, because, I mean, it was pretty unequivocal there in his statement that he was going to do it right away before the budget comes out. As to why that didn't happen, there was no, you know, comment from the governor's office to AP. Obviously, it was a, you know, crazy year on this very particular topic. And you can imagine that had something to do with it. But, you know, like I said, it's a very clear-cut promise, and he didn't do that.
Yeah. Let's take a call from Mark in Appleton. Hello, Mark.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Very good. What's your question?
The question I have is with the John Doe investigation. First of all, what is the status of that, and how will that affect the likely recall of Walker, especially if elections are held in spring? Will there be more information coming out about that investigation that the FBI is conducting?
We don't know what the status of that investigation is, or, you know, who they plan to charge. The apex of what we've learned publicly about that investigation is that FBI agents raided a top Walker advisor who was one time deputy administration secretary. And that's about all we know as to, you know, predicting how that would affect an election. There's just no way of knowing. I mean, it depends what, if there are charges, it depends who the charges are against. And then whether the case can, you know, be made that somehow has to something to do with the governor. You recall in the 2006 election, Governor Jim Doyle basically spent the entire time fighting off, you know, charges that he was corrupt, because you had a civil servant within the Department of Administration who was under trial for trying to steer contracts to political donors. She was later freed. You know, evidence was called beyond thin. So. But obviously that was a factor, you know, and so at this point, it's just impossible to speculate. But clearly, FBI agents raiding a top aide, that was one thing that the recall organizers mentioned when they talked about why they wanted to move ahead now, because the timing could be beneficial to them.
Right. The two Democratic state lawmakers introduced a bill that would restore collective bargaining rights to public employees. And I read that Senator Risser and Representative Pocan did not believe that this bill was going to pass in the Republican-controlled legislature, but they thought that it was good to have this subject on the table while this recall was going on as well.
Yeah, I mean, it in their district, definitely, you know, highly popular. And this is a topic that Democrats didn't talk about as much as you might have expected them to in the Senate recall elections. So, you know, putting it out there, it perhaps drives the issue a little bit more. You know, they know that it's not going to become law, especially under the current circumstances. You know, these days, you very well would probably need Democrats controlling the governor's office and both chambers of the legislature to get something like that through.
Sean, stand by. We're going to talk about many other of state issues, including the governor weighing in, approving training guidelines for the concealed carry law, and other state issues coming up after we check the latest news. But time now for an update on our Half the Time pledge drive and the last day of our Half the Time pledge drive. I'm Joy Cardine, along with Cynthia Schuster, and we are asking you to make a contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio.
That's right. This is the last day of this Half the Time pledge drive. It's coming to an end, and the success of this drive depends on you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are looking for 63 pledges in the next 33 minutes or so. The success of this drive does depend on you. You can help us reach this goal and help us make this Half the Time pledge drive a success and keep our pledge drive short. Make your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're like many WPR listeners, you love the politics, state politics, and state news that you hear on WPR, Don't underestimate the service that we provide to you each and every day on Wisconsin Public Radio. All of these inputs lead to a never-ending list of information that you have on hand to keep you informed as a citizen. So please pledge your support now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I want to thank Gary from Verona, who says, I listen to Wisconsin Public Radio every day whenever I drive. It's worth a buck to me each time to have familiar, reliable, and trustworthy coverage of news and science and the weather and all those special programs. So $600 a year is just my way of saying thank you. It's such a bargain. And after writing this, I feel I should increase my gift. Well, you can,
Go
Gary.
Go ahead.
Thank you so much for that very generous pledge. And that's right. You can you give whatever you can afford, whatever feels right to you and your budget, be it a $25 pledge or a $600 pledge like Gary, or any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you informed and entertained every day. You get value from this program and also from Kathleen Dunn, The People's Pharmacy, Garden Talk, so many others that you've come to rely on.
Wisconsin Public Radio gives you a window on the world like no other, including a window on the dome of the state capitol. Support the exciting mix of programs that you enjoy on this station with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
New members are very important to Wisconsin Public Radio. A big thank you to all the first-time donors who've pledged so far this hour. We've got 3 so far this hour, 14 this morning altogether. And the more people who support Wisconsin Public Radio, the more stable our financial situation and the better we're able to withstand economic ups and downs.
So if you've never given before, know that your new membership will help us keep Wisconsin Public Radio the same strong, reliable station that you depend on. You decide the amount and then give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're still looking for 62 more pledges in the next 30 minutes, so help out now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This half the time pledge drive ends at 7 o'clock tonight. If you're one of those, I'll wait until the last day, people. This is the last day. Don't delay. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We need a big, big response to finish big.
That's right. So get to the phone, 888-202-2552. Log on to WPR.org.
This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine, along with our Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, Sean Johnson, and we are reviewing the big state capitol news during this hour, and we'll preview the week to come as well. It is now 7:36 on this Monday, October the 17th. Let me, before we start, thank Kristen in Onalaska, who says, I moved to Wisconsin 3 years ago, and on Wisconsin Public Radio, I have learned a lot about my new home state, including things to see and do, as well as about a variety of wild species in the state, current political issues, etc. Well, we're talking about some of that, etc. And we thank you, Kristen, for your pledge. You can join Kristen and many others and make your pledge on this last day of our Half the Time pledge drive. We are working toward a goal of 70 pledges during this state capitol report. We have 17 so far, so add to that tally at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, joins me once again. And also making headlines, Sean, is Governor Walker signed off on Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen's guidelines for training for the concealed carry law. What's up?
Yeah, and this is a new power that the governor has this year. Under a law they passed, he has a power to veto administrative rules. And what was happening here is the Department of Justice was writing the administrative rules, which are basically like the fine details of laws and carry the full power of laws, that spell out what training is and how much training you have to take to get your concealed carry permit in Wisconsin. The Department of Justice said you had to have 4 hours of training. There are a number of Republicans, including the Senate author of the concealed carry bill, that said that was not what they intended, that that was too much of a restriction. There was some thought that, you know, they might ask the try to get the governor to veto that. But he said that he was going to let it go forward, just given the limited amount of time that they had.
Mm-hmm. So in any case, that means that November 1st, when this law takes effect, in order to legally carry a concealed weapon, somebody has to show that they went through at least a 4 hour training course for a gun safety or something.
Right. Mm-hmm. You do not have to fire a gun, though, under the Department of Justice's rules. That was one thing that the law was clear about, according to DOJ, is that that any training does not require people to fire guns. So, not like going out and getting a driver's license where you have to get behind the wheel for part of your training. For this, you have 4 hours training. You can fire a gun. It's, it depends who you go to, whether they choose to do that or whether you choose to take that kind of training, but they can't make you to get a concealed carry permit.
Mm-hmm. Also, some action being taken on tort reform in Wisconsin. What is the latest there?
Oh, this is one of those bills, a few of those bills in the governor's special session that's actually getting started here this week. The assembly is going to be in for the next few weeks, the assembly and Senate. These bills have, they have drawn the concern of trial lawyers and of consumer groups who say that basically, it's going to make it harder for people who get hurt by businesses to sue in the future. And one in particular, there's one bill in particular that if you get injured by a drug or medical device, if it was FDA approved, you wouldn't be able to sue the company that made it. So Wisconsin would be only the second state in the nation to have this kind of a restriction. And so Nino Amato, who heads the Coalition Wisconsin and the Aging Groups, said that his board was 100% against this, and that this is they couldn't see why they were doing this to residents of Wisconsin.
I have never seen such pure, unadulterated nonsense and rhetoric to call this a job bill.
And Amano's been around for a while. He was actually headed what was, we've got a new public-private commerce department in Wisconsin. Nino Amato headed a public-private commerce department for Wisconsin back in the 80s and has worked with, Governors Thompson and Earle. So has observed a few things and, had strong words for this bill. The sponsor, the governor doesn't have too much to say about these bills other than to say that he's looking at a variety of ways to have regulatory certainty for businesses. The Senate sponsor for this, though, Rich Zipper, says it's important to point out that if companies lie to the FDA to get FDA approval, if they withhold research that says, guess what, this diet pill actually gives you heart attacks, then they can still be sued.
And I understand there's also a proposed constitutional amendment has been introduced that would somehow change Wisconsin's constitution to forbid an individual mandate to buy health insurance.
Yeah, this is something that was backed by Tea Party groups when Republicans were out of power. Now that they're in power, State Senator Joe Lipom had a hearing on this and said that this would basically be the people of Wisconsin weighing in.
I believe it's important for us to weigh in on this constitutional and personal question as to whether or not our government can force us to purchase a certain product.
Something like that. The constitutional amendment has to pass two consecutive sessions of the legislature and be approved by voters. And, who knows what the U.S. Supreme Court has said about the individual mandate by then and what kind of relevance this would have.
Coming up this week, there is going to be a hearing on proposed Medicaid changes.
Yeah, this is something the Department of Health Services is holding. It gives a chance, the public, a chance to weigh in on a variety of, cuts to the state's Medicaid program, which, by and large, will lead to more people paying more for their health care and getting fewer benefits. The proposals that they'll be talking about or offering up for discussion at this public hearing would affect people that make more than 100% federal poverty level. But, it's a shift in direction for the state of Wisconsin, which under, Governor Tommy Thompson and Governor Jim Doyle has basically worked to expand Medicaid and offer, more health care to people. This is going to make it probably cost prohibitive to a certain number of people. It will be, however much care the department took and drawing this up, it's something that's going to, going to be a controversial plan, and it's going to affect quite a number of people. Mm-hmm. And if they don't get a federal waiver approved, the department has said it could drop 53,000 people who currently receive a form of Badger care. And these would by and large be childless adults. So those people would no longer have an option to get Medicaid in Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of people. Another hearing, or the assembly is planning on taking up a plan that would scale back a phosphorus ban that's already on the books. Sean, why do they want to do this?
Yeah, it would. That was something that passed when Democrats were in charge, and it's my understanding what this thing does is there's the part of that ban that Democrats passed banned the display of phosphorus in a retail store. So the law didn't totally make it illegal. If you're establishing a new sod or a new lawn, you can use phosphorus.
So this is like phosphorus in lawn care products.
Yeah,
if you go to
right,
the garden store,
right, believed to be responsible for some of the large algae blooms that you see in many Wisconsin lakes, especially
So restrictions were placed on the sale of phosphorus.
Restrictions were placed on the sale of this kind of phosphorus, and this would basically be lifting one of those, saying that it's okay to put this stuff on display, and basically you have it out for sale as long as you keep it by the grass seed. So it's not a huge bill, but it is inching back something that was put in place last session.
And another bill relating to Wisconsin's natural resources looks like the Earn a Buck program might be coming to an end.
Yeah, where you have to shoot a doe before you can get a buck. It's something that's already passed the state Senate on a voice vote, and it's coming up before the assembly here. It's a program that the DNR instituted to help control Wisconsin's herd, to help manage Wisconsin's herd. But it's something that, a number of hunters don't like. So that looks like it's on its way out.
We are talking with Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson during this edition of our State Capitol Report. And we have a few more minutes with Sean. If you have a question about what's making news at the state capitol these days, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We've talked some about the effort to potentially recall Governor Scott Walker. If you have a question about that or a viewpoint on that, we'll welcome that as our state capitol report continues. Another political issue making some news, Sean Johnson, is that we have a new Republican candidate in the race for U.S. Senate.
Yeah, so Jeff Fitzgerald, Assembly Speaker Jeff Fitzgerald, is now officially in the race. He made it official last week. So now we've got Jeff Fitzgerald, we've got former Governor Tommy Thompson, we have former Congressman Mark Newman, who ran for governor last year, and we have a maybe in State Senator Frank Lissay, I feel like I'm missing someone here, but
that sounds like all of them. Yeah, and Tommy Thompson didn't actually say I absolutely am, but all the indications are is that he's on his way.
Yeah, he's hired fundraisers. Mm-hmm. He's he's got a he has hired staff. He's raising money. He has all but stood up on a stage and said I'm running. And I don't know if you do that in modern politics anymore. It seems like a number of people have announced their candidacy. To their supporters or through a conference call, what have you. But, yeah, it sure looks like Tommy Thompson is running.
Yeah, so State Representative Jeff Fitzgerald is in the running. Is he saying why?
He's saying that the collective bargaining bill is sort of what sets him apart from the rest of these candidates. And, you know, if you're going to have a crowded Republican primary, you're going to have to, distinguish yourself in some way. He's saying that basically he's battle tested, that he was on the front lines. Those are a couple terms he used in announcing his candidacy, that he was there when they pushed this historic change through. They promised change and they delivered it. And so that's why Republican voters should support him. And so, I mean, you don't know how that primary is going to shake out, but it would appear that, you've got Tommy Thompson as sort of the old Republican establishment candidate, has lined up, a formidable list of supporters, and you have Jeff Fitzgerald. I don't know if, he may emerge as sort of the new establishment Republican in the race, but as of right now, he doesn't have that sort of campaign infrastructure in place.
And on the Democratic side, we just have one.
We have one candidate, yeah. Tammy Baldwin, and mm-hmm. it looks like she's the candidate. There were other Democrats talking about getting in, but she would be tough to beat in a Democratic primary because her base is in, down here in Dane County.
Speaking of primary, there is a push to change the date of the fall primary in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and that is because, it's September now. There's a push to move it back to August.
So the summer primary then.
Yeah, well, and the idea is that you give enough time for, once ballots are printed up, you get enough time between that primary and the November general for ballots to be mailed and then mailed back by overseas service members. So it seems like this is something that's going to happen. It may be that one thing that's tying it up in the legislature is, and I didn't realize this until last week, but the new voter ID law, there's actually a provision in there that said that anybody could get absentee ballots sent to them electronically. Anyone. And so it looks like what they're going to kind of close that off and focus it potentially just on military service members can get absentee ballots sent to them electronically. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that I had no idea that was in there until last week.
And then another bill that's election related. There was a Republican lawmaker introducing a bill that would change the way Wisconsin distributes electoral votes in a presidential election. Sean, what's the reasoning behind this, and what's the reaction to this idea?
And this is something that a few states do. The reaction, right now from Democrats has been negative because, if you look at if it were in place in the last election, for example, Barack Obama won Wisconsin. He got all of Wisconsin's electoral votes, even though he didn't necessarily win every congressional district. And you could see something like that happening this time. You have, five Republican congressmen in Wisconsin. If it's tight in the Electoral College, that could, tilt things against Democrats.
So it's
this time.
It's no.
Could be different in the future, though.
Yeah. It's not winner take all. It's winner, right. The winner of each congressional district would get those electoral votes.
Right.
So, yeah, something mm-hmm. like that. All right. Well, we're almost out of time here. Sean, tell us something we don't know, or did we cover it all? what are these rumors about new state employee guidelines?
Oh, yeah. This is something that was included in the budget. It looks like, and I don't fully grasp how much authority it gives the governor, but now that collective bargaining is sort of out the window for state employees, part of the budget gives his office more authority to change work rules, like vacation time, things like that, potentially compensation. And so they're supposed to come out with a report on that sometime soon. The Department of Corrections secretary actually sent a couple memos out to his employees recently, saying, "Look, we're not going to take away your vacation time." But he expects this report to come out from the Walker administration in October.
You're not going to be on vacation next week, are you?
I don't think so.
All right, then we'll look forward to talking to you for our State Capitol Report coming up. Thanks a lot, Sean.
All right, thanks, Joy.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio, State Government Reporter. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, along with Cynthia Schuster, and our roving reporter, Rob Ferret, is here with a very important update.
Yep, here just came from Pledge Central. We are now at $816,000 toward our half the time pledge drive goal of breaking $1 million. Thank you so much for all your support. We are inching toward that goal today, but it's the last day. We need to not move inch by inch, but I'd say yard by yard.
Yeah, mile by mile.
It makes it really urgent that you make that pledge now. I'll turn it back over to Cynthia and Joy and check back in a little while after I check in at Pledge Central.
Thank you very much, Rob. Yeah, well, Cynthia Schuster, we do have our work cut out for us. This membership campaign is almost over. Your pledge drive now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is oh so very important.
That's right. And we are still looking for 40 pledges in the next 5 minutes or so. That's a lot of pledges, but I know that there are at least 40 of you out there listening to the radio right now. Thank you if you've already given, but if you haven't, please help us stay on track and make the halftime pledge drive a success at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, who joins us just about every Monday with a recap of the big news happening at the state capitol and keeps us abreast of the public policy changes that are being introduced and debated. Now, please take a few minutes to make this hour and many hours to come possible. Put a value on the programs that you enjoy every day and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge is appreciated, and every pledge helps pay for the programs that you love here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Consider asking for monthly donations out of your bank account when you call 888-202-2552 or when you pledge online at WPR.org.
One of the reasons you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio is because you appreciate civil discourse. You value respect even when people disagree. And you do hear a lot of disagreement when we have debates here on the Ideas Network, but you want to hear other people's viewpoints as well. So you like the news, the talk, the entertainment that appeal to your better nature. You get that all the time on Wisconsin Public Radio. Do support what you value and donate now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've been wondering how you can do more for the station that's such a big part of your life, well, consider making a donation of $1,000. Listener support is crucial to WPR's future. And if you like to do more than you've done before and can afford to make a leadership contribution of $1,000, then do that right now. A gift of any amount, though, is appreciated at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've cut our fall pledge drive in half. With surgical precision, we've excised 6 days from our usual 12-day fundraiser. Help us suture up this pledge drive neatly so it doesn't leave a scar on our budget. Ensure the health of your favorite programs by giving now.
Make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine with Cynthia Schuster asking you for your support for the programs you count on. Thank you in advance for your gift, and thank you so much if you've already pledged. We are looking for 36 more calls, 36 more pledges toward our goal of 70 during this hour.
And maybe you're saying to yourself, well, I'll pledge next time. Well, this is it. Today is your last chance to pledge your support for the Joy Cardine Show on Wisconsin Public Radio. Alice from Madison made a pledge, and she said that since it is the last day of the pledge drive, she decided to stop procrastinating.
Way to go, Alice.
Why don't you join Alice at 1-888-202-2552 or log on to WPR.org.
Don't delay any longer. You really can't. Join this community of people who come together to make radio worthwhile. You're with us in spirit. You're listening now. Now it's time to be with us in fact. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
35 more pledges in the next couple of minutes at 888-202-2552 and online at WPR.org.
Thanks to Susan from Madison, who says, Wisconsin Public Radio is the only radio worth listening to. It's always interesting and entertaining. I learn a lot and frequently find myself referring to something that I've learned in conversations with my friends and family. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Susan. Keep up the pledges at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.